recognize, like even this morning, I was thinking how every single one of you, for the most part at least, like made a decision to come here, right? Like you chose to drive here, or I saw Mike, you guys rode, but you know, you guys drove here and you made a decision to like come. And you knew something would happen this morning. You didn't know who was probably gonna be teaching, right? But you knew something was gonna be happening, and that was gonna be like God's word's gonna be taught. And we were gonna gather together as a church, and we're gonna worship, right? We're gonna sing songs that exalt Lord Jesus. And it's like we chose to do that this morning. Isn't that so sweet? We're here together because you chose to come. And there's gonna be other decisions that you get to make. Hopefully at the end of all this, you'll be encouraged to walk through some things that God is calling you to in these last days. And so segues into this kind of like the series we're in, just kind of part two. Paul kicked us off. We had gotten together. We knew that we were gonna be in Luke chapter 21 because it comes after Luke chapter 20. And so we just knew it, sensed it. And so we got together and we were just chatting, you know, what could we do? And opportunity to go through this. So here's how we arrive at these conclusions. Luke chapter 21 is about the end times. And so we thought, well, let's spend some time talking about that, right? It's as simple as that. It's a topical series but it's not, because it's in the Word, and we're going through it chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so it's kind of fun. We hit this particular thing, but we did want to pause and slow down a little bit, and just like, we were just chatting, there's so many times where it's like, man, I wish we had time to talk about that when you're going through end times or prophecy and stuff, and so I was like, well, what if we just had a chance where we could just pause and do that, and it still feels like we're going really fast through it because it's such a broad and robust subject. But last week, Paul dealt with, you know, just basically these things that were going to be coming, Daniel chapter 9 and what that 70 weeks was and how, like where we fit within that and this moment that we're in right now between the 69th and 70th week. We're called this age of grace where God has extended. It's the time of the Gentiles, which we'll get to at the very end, where God has allowed opportunity for us as Gentiles to come to know him. And so we've been in that season, but that time period is only for so long. And as God's little, as God's time stopwatch goes, there's going to come a time where he's going to hit that watch again, and the 70th week will continue. We're just in a pause moment right now. And it's what's interesting is the Old Testament alluded to it. There are whispers of it in the Old Testament. You can see the peaks and the valleys of prophecy. Paul goes through and spends some time talking about the mystery that we see here that's been revealed to us. They didn't quite get it initially, but now we see, oh, Jesus was coming to do a work of saving people from their sins. Is he gonna come back and is he gonna rule and reign? Yes, he is. He is like, this isn't it. This isn't heaven. This isn't the millennial reign. Like, we're waiting for Jesus to come back, and it's gonna be exciting and awesome as a church. We're expectant that he would come and take us and to be up with him. And then he's gonna come back and step foot on the Mount of Olives, like literally. Physically, he's going to come back and he's going to take care of stuff. We believe that. Now, so Paul dealt with a lot of those things last week, and we wanted to just bring up a little bit of like, how do we arrive at these conclusions? And it's nothing more than observing scripture, right? Like we kind of just look at the consistency of it as far as hermeneutics go, and we see that Jesus literally came the first time and he'll literally come the second time, right? That the first resurrection actually happened. It was real and took place. And the second resurrection will actually take place and it'll be happening and it's real. That these prophecies that Jesus talks about, like in Isaiah chapter 61, he goes on and discusses this idea that, well, remember he was reading, right? He was reading in the temple or in the synagogue, and he reads to Isaiah 61 and he reads like kind of half the verse and then he leaves off another section of it. Now at the time there weren't verses and like chapters and verses, right? But he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You guys remember this? Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he pauses and says, today these things are fulfilled in your hearing. And people get fired up about it and so on. But he pauses. The rest of this verse is coming. The rest of that section is on its way. And so we've paused and stopped and we're just discussing that very thing. As a Calvary Chapel kind of horizon movement of whatever we are, a non-denominational denomination or whatever it is, We have theological distinctives. We just do. We approach Scripture a certain way, and that approach leads to particular conclusions. And so, like, kind of where we're at, Wes is going to deal with it next week as far as a pre-tribulational rapture, that Jesus will come, it'll be a premillennial, he'll come, and then the millennial reign will come. And so that's kind of where we are as far as eschatology is concerned. And so we teach from that perspective, and we arrive at those conclusions just by walking through Scripture. We try to just be consistent with it. Like I said, that actually happened at the first, and it's actually going to happen again. And so we look forward to that. I know there's a lot more that can be said on that, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention. There is a manner in which we approach Scripture, and it leads to various conclusions. And so when we look at Israel in Scripture, we see the nation of Israel that God deals with, and don't believe that the church has replaced Israel. We believe that Israel is distinct and separate from the church. And so God's going to turn his attention eventually, which we'll get to at the end, maybe. The time of the Gentiles will come to an end. The fullness of the Gentiles will come. And God will then turn his attention back to Israel. We'll be up with him, I think, by that point in time. And he's going to then kind of begin to do his thing with the nation of Israel. So that's kind of where we come from. There's plenty of latitude for various beliefs. Just so you're aware, there's space here for different eschatological beliefs, obviously, right? I just wanted to let you know, this is where we come from. This is kind of the bent that we have as we look at Scripture. So if you arrive at different conclusions, awesome. We know that at the end of the day, Jesus is coming back and we're going to be with him, and we can certainly agree on that, and we can continue forward, and we can work together. So not a big deal, right? But here we are hanging out with this. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we need some help now because your word's going to be taught. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come help us to understand these things, that it would be able to be something that would move us by your Spirit, and that we would be, we look at you, Lord Jesus. We're able to see how you've been faithful through all this time, and it's like we anticipate and expect that you'll continue to be faithful. And so as your church, we've been called out. Here we are. Would you now move in us together, collectively, as a group? And then would you send us out after this into the world to be salt and light, that we would get after it for you and do business until you come back? And so we look forward to it, Lord. We want to be ready. We want to have our lamps full of oil. We want to be anticipating your return. It refines us. It helps us to live lives that are holy. And so we just ask for help, Lord. Would you use what we had last week and this week and the week to come, Lord, just to be able to be something that readies us for you. Maybe it shakes us up and reinvigorates our heart and desire to live for you, Jesus. Here we are. Will you do that this morning, please? It's a work that you have to do. No man can do that. And so we trust you and ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we've kind of went through last time was, you know, what Paul had shared on was Daniel chapter 9, his 70 weeks, and all that led up to that. What we get to go to now is Luke chapter 21. And again, he's answering three questions. When are these things going to happen? What will be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of the end? Jesus now is hanging out with his disciples. They're looking at the temple, right? And he says, all those stones are going to come down. They then ask those questions. And so what happens is, Jesus is now going to answer those questions. Matthew chapter 24 is the fuller version of it, right? We have kind of an abridged version here dealing with certain aspects of it. And so you can kind of reference back there into Matthew. He deals with certain things that Luke doesn't. Luke deals with certain things that Matthew doesn't. That's awesome and okay. We have a full picture with both of them together. But what we're going to see is that Jesus begins to answer the questions. When will these things be, and what's going to be the signs of the times, right? Which are, it's exciting things. A lot of times people, especially within Calvary Chapel, we're excited about the signs of the times. We have prophecy conferences. People talk about it. When we were out at the International Pastors Conference, they had a whole section on just prophecy, and there's an excitement there, and I think it's good for us to be reminded that Jesus is coming back, because a lot of you guys have been following Jesus for a long time, and it gets mundane, and we get into this rhythm. But I'm thinking, like, stuff like this should stir us up to remember, like, this stuff is coming, and I don't just want to get, like, sucked into my little small world of this, like, my life. Like, no, there's something way bigger happening, and it's Jesus, and he's coming back, and he's calling us as a church to, like, get after it until he comes back. So we have a lot of work to do, and it's exciting work. It's fun work to do, but he's calling us to it. And so we want to be available to that. So again, it's incredible. You guys chose to be here this morning. Like, you came out and you chose to sit underneath the teaching of God's word, no matter who is here, because this is what matters. We're going to hold fast to it. And it means a lot, because notice his answer in verse 8. Well, he doesn't actually answer their questions, right? Hey, so when are these things going to be? Jesus says, I have something way more important to deal with first and foremost. And he says it like this: take heed that you're not deceived. We'll pause for a second and we're going to deal with that. He says, you guys want to know what's coming because it's exciting. I do too. It's fun to talk about it. It's fun. It's interesting. It's a fun subject to deal with, but there's something even more important than knowing when these times are and what's going to happen. And that's like, don't be deceived, because there's some stuff that's going to come your way that's going to be possible. Now, not a single one of you in here, I would think, would sit there and say, like, I want to be deceived, right? Nobody wants to be deceived. In fact, we're scared of being deceived because it kind of makes us look like a fool. And so I want to know everything and I want to know what's going on. But you need to understand, like, these disciples are the same thing. They don't want to be deceived. The hard part about deception is that you don't know that you're deceived when you're deceived. That's why it's called deception, right? You don't know it. And so, like, you actually think that what you believe is true, but you're deceived. And so, like, how do I deception-proof myself? We're going to talk about it. We're going to deal with that. But he stops and kind of pauses all their questions and says, man, let's talk about this for a second. Take heed. Now, what does that word mean? So discern. Think about what this word means, right? It's a full word. Perceive. Direct with your mind. Weigh carefully. Think about. Consider carefully. Take heed that you're not deceived. And so there's a mental aspect to this where we're putting ourselves before the Lord and saying, God, how do we do this? You're thinking critically. You're not just taking in information and saying thumbs up. Sounds good. No, like, we know better than that now. Like, we can't trust that. We got to go back to God's word, and that's what kind of where we'll land, and consider, like, Lord, what is it that you're saying? Does this line up with the truth of what we see in scripture? And if it doesn't, then I get rid of it. If it does, then I hold fast to it, right? We just navigate life like that now, as there's so many voices and so many things that coming at us and trying to get us to go certain ways. Nah, man, we're sticking right here. Just take heed. Be really careful. We live in times where it's going to be much and like much easier to be deceived. There's going to be so many ways we think it's true, but I'm not sure, right? It's so close to being all true, but there's a little bit in there that's not. Oh, man, we got to be really careful, don't we? We've got to be really careful. So take heed that you're not deceived. But what does it mean to be deceived? To stray from the right way, to wander around, to be led into error, and to sever yourself from truth. Now, none of these things are things that we would want. No one wakes up saying, I think I'm going to stray from the right way today. No one wants that. It happens probably slowly, doesn't it? It happens as you slowly let your guard down. You slowly not worrying about this or that. We'll get into some particulars later. But we have to be careful. Jesus wants the disciples, even perhaps more so than knowing what the signs of the times will be, he wants them to know, like, you guys be ready. Take heed that you're not deceived, because there's going to be all kinds of things coming. Now, turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And there's a real classic section here. You guys will be familiar with it. We're going to look at it because I think it's really instructive as far as not being deceived. Excuse me. So this is 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read the entire chapter because it's all so good. But it helps us to understand the flow of it and the context of it. And so, but know this, this is verse 1, that in the last days, similar subject, right? In the last days, perilous times will come. Difficult, hard, and troublesome times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. Pause for a second. This is a list, right? Paul is writing out a list to Timothy saying, this is what things are going to be like. Now you look at that and think, man, that's how the world's always been. And there's absolutely truth to that. What we find now in these last days, probably what What makes it different is the upholding of such things, that these are now the things that are sought after and worshiped and are good. To be a lover of yourself rather than lover of God. Right? That's what we want to see happen. This is the world that we live in, holds these things up and champions them. This is back with Isaiah. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We live in those days. We're there now, okay? Now, has the world always been crazy like that? Yeah, absolutely it has. What we'll probably see is a greater and greater broadening of just, this is how the world is and this is what the world thinks at the highest levels of everything. This is what's going to be promulgated all the way out. Verse 6, those types of people, right? For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins and led away with various lusts. These people are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, which we recognize as Jesus and what he's done. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs was also. Notice verse 10, we're going to get into the good stuff. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. And I want to point out really quickly, because we're going to go back into Luke, where Jesus is like, it's going to get really hard, but it's going to turn out to be a testimony. Notice this, when he says, the Lord delivered me out of them, he didn't die, right? There's that much he can say, except he did once, and then he like came back to life, right? We don't want to be confused to think that when hard times come, that God will just deliver. Like, what was deliverance for Paul? Like, you guys have read those sections, like a night and a day in the deep, right? Five times I was beaten. Like, that was the deliverance. But what happened was this, that God was with him. And you can remember at the very end, he talks about, it's the most beautiful thing, where the Lord stood right next to him and comforted him. In that jail cell, God was with him, comforting him. God delivered me. He was there. Did he die? Yes, he did. He ultimately died. But God was with him. And he's with the Lord now, right? Like, it doesn't get any better than that. Lord's with him. Look at verse 12. This is what you write on your graduation cards, right? Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Because it's so encouraging. Yes, right? What an encouraging verse. Jesus is going to say something even worse than that. But Paul's trying to remind Timothy, like, hey, hold really lightly to this world. Because you're trying to impress people. But listen, this is what's going to happen. And so, yep, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Well, what does that mean? That means my desire, your guys' desire to continue to follow after Christ will lead to something called persecution. You'll continue to hang out in the word and say, no, I kind of just believe this. You'll experience persecution. It's just coming. It's what's going to happen, right? Because look at verse 13. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, speaking lies, believing lies, speaking lies and believing lies. This cycle that goes on and on, where we distance ourselves from God's word, we get into some serious trouble, where these people are going to go and do this very thing. Evil men and imposters acting like they're one thing, but they're really not. They're something totally different, and it's going to get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is what we have. We're living in these days now. I think on the 24th, there's like a rally going on downtown for people who want, for example, how crazy, we have to rally for this, who want just their daughters to compete against other daughters in sports. We have to rally around that now, right? So there's a rally going on to see our governor vetoed a bill, and now we're like, hey, can you just allow women to compete against women in high school sports in Indiana? And it's like, no, that's not going to, like, come on, dude, seriously. We have to rally about those things now, right? Those are the times that we live in. And you guys know how crazy it is. The more you kind of look into this and the more that you believe, like, hey, this is what marriage is supposed to be. And like, man, this is a man, this is a woman. Like, those crazy things, the world will go worse and worse. And you can trust that there's going to be persecution that will come. 100% because we're following Christ. Because there's the offense of the gospel, right? The fact that you're a sinner and you need Jesus. Like, you're going to hell apart from the saving work of Jesus Christ. That's offensive. You'll receive persecution for that. Continuing to walk in just the simple stuff of God's word and how he's designed things, you'll receive persecution for that. And so it's like, oh, what do we do? Oh, good question. Look at verse 14. But you, all right, thank you. You continue in the things that you've learned and being assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And don't let it be lost on you that the connection between this world is crazy and going to get really bad and worse, and you're going to be persecuted, and stay closer to things that you have heard. Like, man, that's what we're doing, right? We're staying right here in God's word. We'll continue to teach it chapter by chapter, verse by verse, because there's truth. This is how you inoculate yourself against being deceived, as you stay in the truth. You stay right here. And so that's what we're doing, right? We're just navigating through it. You guys know that. You guys have been a part of it forever and ever. Praise God for the other churches that continue to just teach really simply like God's word. Like, we just believe in God's word. We're going to continue to teach it. And as believers, we have to settle our hearts on the fact that you're not going to be liked. You're just not. People are going to get fired up because of the things that you believe in. You will be canceled. You will be ostracized. You will be persecuted. It is inevitable, and it will come if you continue to live godly in Christ Jesus. Which, like, I want to continue in that, you know? No matter what, I know you guys would have that resolve within you. You desire in your hearts to just continue to pursue Jesus Christ no matter what. Like, I want that, right? It preaches nice. It sounds great and stuff like that. But I understand there's also that pressure to just be a little bit quieter. Maybe not make too big, like rock too much of a boat or so on. But like, eventually, like, we just have to continue. Like, nah, we can't do this anymore. I'm not going along. Like, we just can't. And you just keep following Jesus. So he'll guide us, right? He's with us. He was with Paul. He delivered them. He was with them. He'll be with us. We can know that for sure. But this deception that Jesus talks about, we have to be ready. What does he say? He says, don't go after. There's going to be people who are going to say, hey, I'm the Messiah. Or, hey, you know, here I am. Look at me. And he says, don't go after them. Don't do it. It's not worth it. You're going to know when I'm coming. You're going to know what's the times you're going to be like. Don't go after him. Don't be deceived. Don't think this. There's going to be a breaking away from the truth of Scripture. These people over here are going to sound really nice. They're going to sound like some things I really am into. It's going to fit well. It's going to be maybe less abrasive culturally. It's like, I like that. I'm interested in that. And Jesus is like, no, don't do it. The things that vie for your attention, your affection, things that fight for your heart, Jesus is like, don't go after them. Stay really close to him and who Jesus is, and continue to go and do the things that he talked about, which we'll discuss here in a second. Don't go after him. We live in a day of an accelerated deception, right? Accelerated abilities for us to be deceived and distraction. I was joking last service. Anybody in here ever watch the YouTube channel or the guy Project Farm? I know Wes does. I got one guy in here. Yes, I got a couple. Casey, anybody else over here? No Project Farm people? All right, that's fine. Last service, nobody. Like 100, 200 people. No, come on, what do you guys do at night when you should be sleeping? Not watching Project Farm, apparently. But I was watching last night because I have this, you know, longing to know what the best metal cutting saw blade is. So what he does is he just reviews really cool products and stuff like that. Anyway, this has a point. It's this. I should probably repent for having watched it, because the whole point is like, distraction. Do I need to know that Irwin or Makita is the best like metal cutting saw blade? I probably don't need to know that, okay? I do know that now. And I'm interested, and I'm thankful to know that, like, it's fun stuff. I like it. Do I spend too much time? Yeah, I probably do. Yeah, I do. Okay, so I'm repenting now. I'm sorry. I'm trying to shorten those times up. It's just hard. And then you've got this, never mind. Okay, so, but this vies for our attention, and this vies for our power, my affection. Like, man, there's like people who need Jesus, and then there's Project Farm. And it's like, no, it's not a decision, right? It's like, help me, Lord, know what is the right way to do it. But we have to be really careful. There are things that distract us and pull us away. It pulls from my affection. I got to recognize it and see what a waste of time. Okay, so Lord, direct me, right? How should I go? What am I supposed to do? Show me with this. I'm not suggesting that it's wrong for you to watch that. I'm just saying, what's the time like, right? What's it like? What goes, is Jesus enough to satisfy me? I want it to be that way. I really do. Is the gospel enough? Do I need something else? Something else that's exciting or fun? Like, no, like, is this enough? The answer is yes. And I know you guys would agree with that. What's interesting is like little things can get in and it can start to pervert and cloud. We just want to be careful. We got to be aware of it, right? Jesus said, take heed that you're not deceived. We have to be aware. What keeps us from it? Well, we talked about that in Peter, 2 Timothy 3, we stay close to this. We continue in the word, fellowship, and prayer, right? We just keep going in what we already know, and we hold fast to it. We don't need anything new. We don't need anything neat or novel or crazy or cute. We don't need any of that. We just need God's word, like right here. We're continuing. That's why you guys are here, because you're awesome and you're excited about God's word, right? And so now he gets into and he begins to answer some questions in verse 9. He begins to answer kind of like, what are the signs of the time going to look like? And so he'll deal with this. This is what we want to know, right? This is why anybody goes to a prophecy conference. Like, dude, tell me what signs are happening so that we can see it. And like, we'll deal with a couple of them. I am no expert in it. There are many other things you can go and do and look at and check out. There are four different things we'll deal with here that we can like kind of look at and be like, oh man, there's probably some good chance that like we're living in these last days. There's some stuff happening that we can look at and point to. But again, what really matters is following Jesus until that very end, right? So in verse 9, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars or commotions, don't be terrified. These things have to come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. He said nation's going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, famines, pestilences, and there will be fearful signs, fearful sights, and great signs from heaven. So pause there for a second. He lists what will be the signs of the times, right? Like what things are going to happen that will help us understand and have some indication that like maybe you're getting ready to come back, right? So he answers it right there. He's going to answer it more so in this next section, 25 through the end, which Wes is going to deal with next week at our one service at 10 o'clock, right? Remember, bring good food. And so he's going to deal with that then. He's going to talk about the rapture. He's going to talk about the second coming of Christ and dealing with all those things. But Jesus is answering certain questions here. What is it going to look like? What's it going to happen? Because again, they're looking at the temple. He's saying they're all going to be thrown down. How can this possibly be? When's that going to take place? What's going to be the sign of your coming? He answers that question. So how does that relate to today? What we had in the 20th century to the 1900s, you had the bloodiest century ever. You had two world wars, which were the first of their kind. You had people like Napoleon. You had guys like Alexander the Great who conquered, the Roman Empire conquered large swaths of the world. But then with what you had in the 20th century was something that was unusual in that you had this. You had all the continents involved in a massive global war. We hadn't had that before. That's a new thing. So you can look at that and be like, all right, Jesus, I'm reading what you're saying. And like that definitely is happening different than what it's ever been like in the world. As far as earthquakes are concerned, you have records of 8+ magnitude. People keep track of these things. What you have in the last 20 years is you have an increase in these, right? Usually you have about a little bit less than one per year. The year 2000 saw 13 earthquakes that were of a magnitude 8 or greater. In the 2010s, you had 11 that were greater. So there's definitely an increase in this, right? So we're just kind of stepping back and like, all right, are we in the last days? Are we not in the last days? Are we close to the last days? You're just looking, right? We're just people. We're curious. We just want to know. That's all. Nothing crazy. It's okay. It's okay to wonder that. It's not okay to set dates. It's not okay to hold fast to something, right? We're just looking. That's all. Even this morning, we're just looking. I'm offering you guys some thoughts. That's all. And you guys can take it for what it's worth and then look into it yourself. But there's definitely an increase in great earthquakes, like big ones, right? There's always been lots of little ones. But people could say like, well, of course there's more earthquakes. Why? We have way more sensors, right? Which, by the way, is true. Of course, we're picking up more because we have more sensors to pick those things up. But since we've had those things down, the increase or frequency of really big earthquakes that are like life devastating have increased. So there you go. Take it for what it's worth. In 2019, the World Economic Forum put out this thing and about pestilences, right? Diseases and so on and the increase of it. And it's like, as I'm reading through it, it was, this might sound bad, but it was funny. Because you're sitting there reading this thing about how like we're not ready for global outbreak. And it's like, if they only knew that in a year, what would come, right? It's like, man, they have no clue what's getting ready to come their way. But they say this, as this report explains, the number and diversity of infectious disease outbreaks are gradually but inexorably increasing. So we can look at that as another clue. You can maybe say like, we're looking out at this world. Yeah, man, wars are definitely increasing. Things are happening like that. Big earthquakes, great earthquakes are happening more frequently. There's definitely more pestilences going on. Famine's not so much because, the spread of democracy is a major reason why there's been a lack of famine, but those things are going to come from wars and different states. So that's probably the only one that we don't see right now. But you'll notice then, oh, I forgot to say this, Barry. I forgot this guy named Barry. Christian showed me his last name. I don't remember it. I was at the International Pastors Conference last year, and they had a prophecy session. And in it, this guy, Barry, that's all I wrote down was Barry. And I don't remember his name. But he made this note. This is all. This is just a little tidbit. Do with what you want with it. All 20 super volcanoes have become active in the last 25 years. So there's that. All right. Free information. That's according to Barry. So I don't know. Barry said so. Do with it what you want, okay? High quality stuff there. Barry, he's a good dude. I appreciate his teaching. Now we get to this section, right? So if there's a timeline laid out before you, over here we have the end, right? Jesus said these things are going to come, but the end won't be immediate. But notice in verse 12, he says, but before these things, so now we're like here, okay? Now we're before these things. So he says, but before these things, they're going to lay their hands on you and persecute you. They're going to deliver you up to synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And notice this, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. That there will come a time where you guys and the church lived this out, right? As Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. There was a guy named Saul who persecuted the church, and then the church spread out. And the church experienced this. Paul lived both sides of these, being the persecutor and the one who had to go and was beaten and was taken before kings and so on there in Acts. He lived these things. Paul looked at this. But notice this, that he says it's going to turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. And I thought that was really cool, where Jesus says that it reminds us of this, that this is, in many ways, guys, listen, the point of our existence. Jesus didn't say, you're going to be carried off captive to synagogues. People are going to persecute you and hurt you, but like, don't worry, I'm going to like save you from it. He didn't say that. He didn't say, hey, don't worry, I'm going to like make sure it's not that bad. No, he didn't say that either. He's like, it's going to be an opportunity for you to share a testimony. It's going to be an opportunity for you to declare Jesus to people who need to hear him. And that's what it is. And that's what matters. And I find myself having to settle that within my own heart. Like, is that okay? Am I all right with that? Are you okay with that? Have you resolved to think, like, no matter what happens, and this is, again, guys, like, I know that it's really easy to teach these things. It's probably easy for you guys to sit in your seats and, like, consider, like, yeah, like, I'm definitely following Jesus no matter what. But, like, things are easy. You guys know how it is when you watch the Olympics and you're like, I could probably do that. Right? And then you... like run a mile and you're like, nope, I couldn't do that, right? That's why you guys know they need like normal person and then like the Olympian just to get an idea on like, you couldn't, you think you could, you know, you watch UFC, like I could probably do that. And then you're like, your daughter hits you and you bruise up and you're like, okay, I probably couldn't, I probably couldn't, you know, my own daughter hurts me. And so I understand it's probably similar to that. Like we always anticipate a much greater response than what we might actually do in reality. But here we have the Holy Spirit. And in this particular instance, you don't have that in the UFC. You don't have that in the Olympics. But in regard to this, we have Jesus and he's with you. And so we can expect that. But are you prepared? Like, have you resolved in your heart? Like, are you okay with that, right? Have you considered it? And are you okay with these things happening and it being for a testimony for Jesus? That's it. The difficulty you might face at work because you're just standing up for simple truths of scripture and the gospel. Like, are you okay that it turns out for you to be an occasion for a testimony? It also might be the occasion that you lose your job, but it also is a testimony. And like, that's what matters, right? So I just bring that up to you for you to consider. That is what matters, like above anything else, like that's it. I know it's hard and I know it preaches easy and this, like just standing up here and talking about it, but I think each of you would probably be like, yeah, like I want that to be the truth for me. I want to be okay with like whatever difficulty comes. If we get to share Jesus with people and people are born again, like sweet. That's what's up and that's what matters. That's it right there. If you were to boil everything down, he goes on to say in verse 14, settle it in your hearts Therefore, settle in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you should answer. It's a really interesting section, isn't it? For I will give you a mouth and wisdom with which your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You're going to be betrayed by your parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you'll be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair on your head shall be lost, and by your patience possess your souls. Things that we can look forward to. And I mean, this is what the church experiences today in other parts of the world right now. If you guys get any of Voice of the Martyrs emails, you can read about things happening like now to churches that are going on, people who are following Christ. These things happen where one person will become saved and the family tries to kill them. Like, it happens today, right now. And so we pray for the church, right? Pray for the persecuted church. We recognize here in America, that seems distant, doesn't it? It seems so foreign to us, but don't lose sight of the fact that it's happening in this world today and other places in the world. It happens today. And as time progresses and as the world keeps doing its thing, guys, this is what's going to happen. And so I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it. But if this is what the Lord has, praise God if it turns out to be an occasion for testimony. We get to share them. And guess what? Notice this. He's with you, right? He'll provide all that you'll need to be a witness. He doesn't say, hey, don't worry, I'll sneak you out of prison. Oh, which by the way happened, right, with Peter and Paul. They got snuck out of prison. Angel came and saved them. He doesn't say that. But they also experienced the difficulty, right? Paul, yep, he experienced it. He got to stand before kings. Agrippa there at the very end of Acts 26 and 27 and 28. He gets to go through and he just gets to share. And he's like, hey, King Agrippa, like, you know these things? And King Agrippa's like, dude, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. And Paul's like, oh, I wish that you would. I wish you were all that I am in following Christ, except for these chains, he says, because he was chained up at the time. And Porcius Festus is like, you're crazy, Paul. And Paul's like, dude, no, this isn't crazy talk. Like, Agrippa, you know these things. And Agrippa's like, yeah, that's true. He got to stand before him, right? God gave him the ability to speak truth and wisdom. He'll do that for you as well. I think we can promise, he's promised these things, right? So we'll trust him. He lived on it. We'll be hated by all for his name's sake. I don't, that's not encouraging. Don't write that on a graduation card. But what we can do is trust that he will be with us, right? He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so we'll just continue forward. Are you ready for that? We don't live in a place. We live in such a wonderful place. Our state's not that bad. It's a great state to live in. We're pretty darn free here. It's like, thank you, Lord, for that. It's a privilege. It's great. Will those things come to an end? Probably, inevitably, they'll come to an end eventually. Now, that doesn't mean you go down just, okay, you don't capitulate to it. Like, go out and do stuff, you know, like do something about it. But until then, man, like, we're just ready because Jesus, people are going to hate him. People are going to hate Jesus because of what he stands for and who he is. They're going to hate Christianity because of what it stands for, how backwards it is, and how archaic it is for our modern time. But as Christians, what do you do? Have you settled it in your heart just to keep going? I hope so. Like, this is a chance where we get to do that, right? Where it's like, Lord, we're just going to keep going for you. Okay, let's finish this up. Verse 20. He now answers again, right? Jesus says, all these stones are going to get thrown down. Well, when's that going to happen, Jesus? What's going on there? And so he goes on, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, that's when it's going to happen. He says, now you'll know that it's near. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country go into her. Speaking about Jerusalem. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. There are those who think that Deuteronomy chapter 28, 15 through the rest are curses that God said. Like, if you don't follow after me, there's going to be curses. And each one of those, as you would read, like took place there in 70 AD when Titus came, that because of their ultimate rejection of the Messiah, the judgment was given. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon its people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, which are the times we're in now. You might remember Paul talked about it last week in 70 AD. Titus came and the Roman army killed about 1 million Jews and took captive about 100,000 and took them out of there. Once a year, they had an opportunity to go back and mourn what was once theirs and do that. That took place. Jesus predicts it. He says it's going to happen. That's 20 through 24. But then that begins a time period, right? So at that moment, a time period began. It's called the times of the Gentiles, which we're in right now. which honestly is like decent news for us, because that means that there's an opportunity for us to be saved, that there's a time period that God has set apart that we're in right now where we have a chance and the Gentiles have a chance to be saved. Jerusalem is still, at least in part, being trampled by the Gentiles. The Muslims still have part of the Temple Mount. And until that whole scenario is taken care of, we're going to find out we're still in this time. And then we have Romans 11:25 discusses this idea or concept of the fullness of the Gentiles. Both of these things coming to an end when the church is done. And when God then directs his attention back to Israel, ultimately and finally. When he got him in the nation, right? 1948, Israel becomes a nation. In 67, they grab control of Jerusalem in the Six Days War. And all of a sudden, these things we read about in Scripture now can actually come to pass. Those things we thought we had to allegorize, those things we thought, maybe the church replaces Israel because there's no Israel. All of a sudden, there's an Israel. All of a sudden, there's a Jerusalem. All of a sudden, there's a possibility of a temple being remade now. This is incredible stuff. And so we see prophecy begin to unfold. Nothing needs to happen between now and whenever Jesus raptures his church. Like, we're just waiting, being about his business. And what do? I have to go very quickly through this because it's time to be done. But I want to leave you with this, okay? So we'll go through these quickly. Many of them we've already gone through. So we've just gone through this. The end is coming, whatever, right? Be ready. But what do we do in the meantime, okay? What are you supposed to do as a believer in Jesus Christ? We already talked about this. Do business until he comes. Jesus talked about it in Luke chapter 19. He says, I got to go away and do my thing. So come here, servants. I'm going to deposit into your life. Here's some money. But I think it's an example of the Holy Spirit. He deposits into us here. I got to go do business until I come, right? He's occupy until I come. We have a work to do. You guys know that. But until Jesus raptures us up, until he comes back again, we have a work to do. And that's the work of, and you guys know it, it's to make disciples. We talked about it. Go and make disciples. Continue to go and love one another. Like, that's what we get to do. Do business till he comes. Those of you who have jobs, it's probably all of you, hopefully, that's your spot right there. Those of you who own businesses, those are your people right there. Those of you who help doing soccer, those of you who help with track, those of you who help do this or that, like, that's your people. That's your business right there. People, that's what you get to do. What else should you do other than going about his business? Don't be deceived, right? He's asked us, don't be deceived. Okay, well, how am I supposed to stay from being deceived? Stay in his word. Stay in the fellowship. Stay in prayer. Why do we do that? Simple stuff. It's not hard. It just becomes, sometimes it becomes mundane. And then what else is out there? No, I don't do that. Press into it, right? Press into fellowship. Press into studying God's word. Even when it becomes emotionally maybe disconnected, press into it. Stay sharp and sober. Wes will deal with this next week. Verses 34 and 36 of Luke 21, he encourages us, take heed. Don't let your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, lest that day come upon you unexpectedly. Stay sharp and stay sober-minded. Watch and pray. That's verse 36. Watch and pray. In 1 Peter 4:7, he says that we've got to be serious and sober. Be serious, or sober and watchful in your prayers. He goes on to say, have fervent love for one another. What are we called to do until Jesus comes back? This, do his business. Make disciples. The harvest is white. Do something about it, right? Don't be deceived. Stay close to God's word. Stay in fellowship and prayer. Stay sharp and sober. Watch and pray. Be sober and watchful in your prayers. Lots of praying. You guys pick up on this? Lots of praying. Have fervent love for one another, for us, right? So let's love each other, but also let that love extend out of these walls into the communities and neighborhoods you guys are a part of, that people see you as salt and light. And finally, the best part, let's turn to it real quick. 1 Peter chapter 1. And then I'm going to read this just because it's like the best. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 13, it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, which is such a strange way of phrasing things. But it's like, make it ready, right? Make your mind ready. Prepare it to be used. Prepare it to engage. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can we pause for a second and just like take a sigh of relief? It's like, okay. It's Jesus, right? all these things we got to do. No, like it goes back to just knowing him, enjoying him, resting our hope fully upon him. Jesus, he's our Savior. He continues to sustain us. As obedient children, don't conform yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. This is what the Lord has called us to do. Rest in him. Draw your strength from him. In these last days, it's like, man, times are going to get crazy. So what should you do? Like, be really close to Jesus. Be really close to him. Enjoy time with him, right? Fellowshipping in the morning with him, waking up and just spending time in the word. But I have to admit, you have to press into it, don't you? Because it can become difficult. But press into it. It's like a habit, like you chose to be here this morning. We would choose to hang out with the Lord. We would choose to stay close to him, to like draw upon him for his resources and so on. So with that, we'll be done. It's probably too late for worship. So, okay. I'm really sorry. That's way better than this, me talking. But let's pray and then we'll send you guys out. Lord Jesus, we love you and are so thankful for your word and how you speak clearly to us. And you have asked that we wouldn't be deceived. You asked us to watch and be prayerful, that in these times that we live, that we would continue to serve you. We'd continue to love you, that you'd keep us from being distracted, and that we would recognize that you are coming back, and that we get to look forward to that. It's a blessed hope. We would say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, because we want to be with you. But until that time, Father, please, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you move in our hearts? Would you like give us some serious and real compassion for the lost, that we would get after it for people who are in our neighborhoods and those who live beside us and those who we work with and those who work for us? For the kids that are in our neighborhoods, like all these things, Lord, we're here for you. We've been called out to gather together as a church and of believers, but Lord, now we get to be sent out into a world that is messed up and desperate for you. Open up doors, Lord. Please open up the hearts of people that we'd be able to pray for them and bless them and share the gospel with them. And so here we are, Lord, use us. We need the power of your Spirit to do that. We pray for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And sorry we went a little long again, but have a great day.